The Healing Musician by Stella Benson. Chapter 1. What is healing music? In most Native American cultures, the term medicine is a much broader term than it is when used by modern allopathic medical practitioners. Medicine, in this broader context, is a beneficial force, the universal source of wellness, goodness, wholeness, and holiness, end quote, by Kay Gardner, from The Sounding, The Inner Landscape. The word healing is understood in some circles as to cure. Music alone does not cure. Healing within the context of therapeutic music is best understood as a process or a means to an end, not a product or an end in itself. Healing music, or music medicine, is like an agent in a dynamic system to help make that system whole. The English word heal in the old Anglo-Saxon language is the word hal, which means whole. It is a release of a block in our perception that keeps us from being whole. Just because the word healing is placed in front of the word music does not mean that music can cure. Not all music has the potential to be healing music. There is a rare epilepsy called musicogenic epilepsy, which is induced by listening to music played by an orchestra. Even the sound of a piano or ringing bells can cause an attack. It is a very rare phenomenon, but still it illustrates the incredible power of music. Loud and boisterous music was used by Hitler to prepare the audience with excitement before his speeches. Music in some rock concerts may incite the audience to be rowdy and destructive. Are these examples of bad music? The music itself is not bad, but terrible actions can be inspired by warped intentions. The results are in the intent, or in the way music is received. Applying healing music is a healing art. Just as everybody does not play music the same way, music does not affect everybody the same way. The giving and receiving of healing music, as is true in all arts, depends on many factors. Be careful about certain absolute claims regarding music. Sometimes cheerful music does not work for people who are sad, and sometimes soothing music does not work for people in pain. For example, a colleague of mine who is a board-certified music therapist was playing her guitar with quiet, soothing music to a semi-conscious fellow who was very ill with a terminal disease. She continued to play for a while when she noticed his eyes opening slowly. He looked at her and said, "Do you know any Elvis?" At the time, she did not know any Elvis, but she did play something more upbeat. Healing music is a holistic mechanism causing a chain reaction, which can affect the physical body, the emotions, and the spirit. As Don Campbell said in his book, The Mozart Effect, the healing power of music, quote, varies according to the composition, the performer, the listener, the posture assumed in listening, and other factors, end quote. The power of music. Quote, if you come to great music with an open heart, a willing mind, and a relaxed body, it will enter you and renew you, end quote. From Hal Lingerman, The Healing Energies of Music. In ancient times, music was a science studied and taught by Pythagoras in the mystery schools of Delphi and Crotona. There, his students learned the healing powers of music. The 6th century philosopher Boethius described music as a principle that unites body, soul, and spirit. During the Middle Ages, the power of music continued to be acknowledged so much that the church forbade its secular use, condemning it as the devil's work. The only people allowed to indulge in music were intellectuals, namely philosophers and theologians. Today, music is pervasive. Baseball games, in the movies, in the supermarket. Just as in earlier centuries, its effectiveness is changing the moods and whims of its listeners. It is not lost on modern-day business people. A recent English study involving a psychiatrist team from the University of Leicester showed that music was effective in influencing the type of wine purchased. Bottles of wine were prominently displayed in an English supermarket, and when French accordion music was piped in, the French wines outsold the others. When German oompa music was piped in, German wine outsold the others. While this appears to be a simple effort to control what consumers purchase, the cause and effect connections are actually much more complex. For example, imagine that you are wearily driving home from work on a Friday afternoon. What is your posture? How are you feeling? You turn on your favorite music station. Who are the composers and the performers? You listen to energizing music. Before you realize it, you start thumping your hands on the wheel, mouthing the words, and dancing in your seat. You feel like you're 16 years old again. The music has helped you express a "thank God it's Friday" mood. Mood setting is an important way to apply music. We do it all the time. We put on romantic music to forget the bluster of the day and to set an intimate mood. To babies, we sing lullabies to calm night fears and create a secure and loving mood. With healing music, mood can create much more than just good feelings. Three traditional strains of music. You might say that the human response to music is a phenomenon. The American Heritage Dictionary defines phenomenon as, quote, an occurrence or a fact that is perceptible by the senses, end quote. To understand the phenomenon of music better, we can divide it into three parts or strains. 1. Merriment or energizing. 2. Sadness or unsettling. 3. Slumber or soothing. Brendan Brethnach, in his book Folk Music and Dances of Ireland, tells how in ancient times most Irish music was instrumental. The bard, who spent years in apprenticeship, learned to play three strains of music on the harp to uphold centuries of tradition. The legend of the enchanted harp called Utni or Una metaphorically explains these three strains. Legend speaks of the Battle of Mortura between the Tuatha De Nannann and the invading evil Formorians. The Dagda, or the good god, leader of the Tuatha De Nannann, had an enchanted harp named Una, which was stolen at the Battle of Mortura. The Dagda pursued the Formorians to their hiding place, where he saw his harp hanging on a far wall. He beckoned Una with a lullaby. She lifted herself off the wall, landing gently in the open arms of the Dagda. The Dagda proceeded to enchant the invaders by first sweeping the strings to produce the strain of gyantri, or merriment. Upon hearing the merry tunes, all the children began to dance and laugh. Next, the Dagda plucked the goltri, the strain of sadness. Before they realized it, all the women were drawn to weep and wail. Finally, the Dagda strummed swantre, music of slumber, putting all the men to sleep. This is how the Dagda was able to rescue his enchanted harp. One can see why the ancient Irish thought that the music produced from the harp was enchanting and powerful. Today, we can still be moved to experience one of the three music strains. A classically trained harpist associate of mine has relayed that, indeed, the modern classical harpist is required to evoke these same responses in the audience in order to achieve the prestigious title Master Harpist. In her book, The Sound of Healing, music therapist Judith Pinkerton suggests similar musical categories. She refers to them as energizing, unsettling, and soothing. Although the three strains are not absolute, it is in these three strains of music that we can find general guidance when deciding what would be most fitting to play at the bedside. Music as an anodyne. Quote, for it is not death and pain that is a fear, or a fearful thing, but fear of death and pain, end quote. Epictetus. Researchers from the University of Washington Schools of Medicine and Music in Seattle collaborated with Swedish Medical Center and published their work in the Music Therapy Journal in 1989. The paper cited a study by Gardner and Licklider, in which music was effective in the control of pain in the dental chair. The study showed that out of 1,000 patients who listened to music during painful procedures, a reported 65% had complete suppression of pain. 25% had suppression enough that no analgesia was required, and 10% had less than adequate relief. This study strongly suggests that in some cases, music can be played for other types of patients who choose to listen to music rather than take pain medication. In cases such as this, music can replace some pain medications, allowing patients to stay more alert in conversations with loved ones and visiting friends. In this University of Washington paper, the authors described these five human responses to music. 1. Distraction. 2. Imaging. 3. Emotions. 4. Catharsis. And 5. Relaxation. Distraction. A patient can often feel anxiety, helplessness, and lack of control. By distracting the patient from fear or pain, music can hold one's attention and alter one's perception of time, regardless of personal musical preferences. Music, as a coping strategy, can bring benefits to the listener by, quote, virtue of distraction, end quote. Distraction eases the mind, alleviating unpleasant mental processes, giving a timeout or rest. The mind's focus is now somewhere else. An example of where distraction may be applied is to play live music right before treatment, particularly with pediatric patients. It can be used as a non-invasive adjunct to pain management, including areas of emergency room setting, pre-operational anxiety, and injections. A study at Florida State University revealed a significant difference between music and non-music groups of children in, quote, pre-needle and post-needle stages, the music group exhibiting less behavioral distress, end quote. An analysis of the observation, quote, which attempts to record duration of pain, revealed that children receiving music exhibited shorter periods of distress than children who did not, end quote. Additionally, 79% of the patients felt that music intervention was beneficial. Marlene Rashford, certified musical practitioner living in the Pacific Northwest, relays an example of how music was used as distraction. One afternoon, she said, she was called by a nurse at the local hospital. "We have an 8-year-old girl bouncing off the wall," the nurse said, and asked if I would come in. "I expected a little girl who was just too busy to sit still, but found a completely different situation. She was completely hysterical, crying uncontrollably, screaming and kicking. You could cut the tension on the entire floor with a knife. The nurses were totally unable to do a thing, and the girl's mother was in tears as well. I asked the nurse where she wanted me, and she put me in the doorway directly in sight of the little girl. I began to play, and immediately the girl screamed, 'What is that music?' In a little while, she was no longer screaming, and her crying was coming under control. In 15 to 20 minutes, she was calmed enough for the nurses and the lab technicians to do their work. Of course, she cried when the needles stuck, but she was not out of control and was always watching me play. The doctor, by this time, was able to come in and do his work with her. When I left, she was nearly asleep, and her mother and the nurses were well and greatly relieved. You could have heard a pin drop on the entire floor. This was my first experience doing this work, and I can tell you truthfully, it proved to me how powerful music is and how much this service is needed." Imaging. Listening to melodies can sometimes arouse pleasant thoughts. This may cause the listener to recall distant memories, bringing together a series of mixed images. This kind of picturing, or mixed images, is called imaging. The following is an experience illustrating the strength of imaging. I played my harp for Jane, who seemed to be on her deathbed. I played soothing music for Jane on my harp during a most painful episode. Later, when Jane had unexpectedly recovered, I met her again. Jane had specifically sought me out to explain how, for days after I had played, She kept imaging the sound of the harp music. Jane imagined herself floating up to the stars, elevated by the music. Jane said this was what helped her transcend the pain. Clearly, imaging is a way for the brain to be somewhere else. Perceptually, the imaging is so strong that pain becomes secondary in occupying the patient's consciousness. Emotions. Music also facilitates spiritual advancement through emotion. After I learned of my own brother's suicide, I was at wit's end. The emotional pain I felt was not only debilitating, but intolerable. My path of recovery came through counseling and music. When a piece of music I had shared with my beloved brother came on the radio, it made me cry, but I didn't turn it off. It allowed me to confront my grief. I was able to deal with his tragic death, as painful as it was, realistically accepting the challenge to go on with my life. However, I carried it further than just listening to music. I began creating my own music. I was able to experience recovery in a creative and spiritual manner by improvising and composing. My musical skills grew, and creating music became an expression of my painful emotions. Through this, I was moved toward greater compassion and became more sensitive to the sorrows of others. Here is a case where the wounded help the wounded. I began playing for other people in pain. I would see the mystery of life and death in their eyes. Spiritually, I felt at peace and sensed a connection with the mysterious universal force that I had never felt before. Music can affect the emotions, and emotions in turn can affect the music. Catharsis. At times, words may not be effective in communicating feelings and emotions. It may be through music that deep issues can surface and be dealt with. The next story tells of how music can act as a catharsis. Stories like this one, told by Melissa Frickman Time, RN, an instructor of Music for Healing and Transition Program, which is a national certification program for music practitioners, may happen more often than we think. Jim was in a coma for some time. Gentle harp music was played at the bedside when suddenly Jim came out of the coma, pointed at the musician, and said very clearly, "Stop playing that." The musician was startled and stung, but the family was elated to have their family member back again. Another anecdotal story comes from a Northwest newspaper. After 11 days in a coma, a 7-year-old car accident victim stirred back to consciousness when she heard her favorite song, Blue, sung at her bedside by singer-songwriter Leanne Rimes. Relaxation. Recent research indicates that stressful stimuli can suppress the immune system. Music can facilitate relaxation. Listening to music that is easy, slow-paced, and soft can facilitate deep breathing and loosen the muscles of the body. Relaxed muscles ease the tension on stretched nerves. During relaxation process, the body releases endorphins that are natural opiates that block the reception of pain to the brain. This is similar to a runner's high, creating a sense of euphoria. Additionally, the body releases secretory immunoglobulin, or antibodies, which speeds healing by increasing immune response. Researchers have found that by applying music treatment, produced significant increases in immunoglobulin. By now, most people know that certain lulling, gentle, repeated sounds can promote relaxation. Many natural sounds, such as rain, birdsong, ocean waves, are good examples of relaxing sounds. Music that imitates these sounds can induce relaxation in listeners. Static versus dynamic music. The words static and dynamic can be explained to differentiate between live music and recorded music. Static music means music that is set, like music on a CD or cassette tape. Music from these devices is isolated from the environment. Dynamic music is live music that is real time, literally. Dynamic music can be changed at will. Music on recordings cannot be changed unless the recording is manually changed and replaced with another. The biggest advantage of live music over recorded music is that live music can address the sudden needs of the patient immediately. This is more important than it appears. The following story illustrates an example of how patients' needs may suddenly change. Mrs. Smith, dying of cancer, was weak, medicated, and sleeping heavily. Several times, members of the immediate family would snuggle up and hold her while she lay in bed. I played gentle, ethereal, non-metered music. The time of death was close at hand. Suddenly, Mrs. Smith awoke and insisted on standing up. While I had been playing contemplative and serene music, I sensed that the music needed to change. As her family struggled to help her stand, my feeling was that Mrs. Smith wanted to feel the earth at her feet one more time. I changed the music to reflect what I thought she was trying to experience. The music became familiar and tempo-driven. When she lay back into bed, I felt the music should resume its peaceful pace. Mrs. Smith died peacefully a few days later. People do what they can with the energies and resources they possess. Again, the above story is an example of how suddenly the situation can change in a caregiving environment. Our bodies are dynamic systems, constantly changing. Live music at the bedside is a dynamic vehicle that can match and follow the patient's unique changing needs. Medically, music is non-intrusive, and it can be an agent to support the physiological, mental, and emotional condition of the listeners. The power of musical sound on the human body. Quote, "Ultimately, musicians of the world must come to realize the potential of their calling. Like the shamans, we may serve as healers, metaphysicians, inciters, exciters, spiritual guides, and sources of inspiration. If the musician is illuminated from within, he becomes a lamp that lights other lamps." End quote. By Kenny Werner from Effortless Mastery. Sound is made from the vibration of objects, drum skins, harp strings, vocal cords, or reeds, for example. The vibrating object moves to and fro many times at different speeds to produce different tones. Each back and forth motion, like a wave, is one cycle of a vibration. The number of cycles completed in 1 second is called a frequency, or hertz. An object may vibrate 10 times in a second, or 10 hertz. Today's middle C vibrates at 256 hertz. The note G above middle C vibrates at 385 hertz. The higher the pitch, the faster the vibration. The human ear generally cannot hear less than 20 hertz, but the body can feel the rumble of thunder at 15 to 40 hertz before ever hearing it. Resonance is when one object of the same frequency picks up the vibration given off by another of the same frequency. All objects have a natural frequency of vibration. When stimulated by the same vibrational frequency, two objects resonate in sympathy. Sound wave energy can be felt. For instance, if you turn up the bass on a good stereo, you can feel the bass drum or the bass guitar as it is struck. The density of the object determines how fast a vibration goes through it. When sound travels through the air, it vibrates atoms and molecules. The faster the air molecules move, the louder the sound. The softer the sound, the less movement in the atoms. Thus, volume is measured in decibels. Human speech generally registers at 60 decibels. Pain can be felt when volume reaches 120 decibels. Death occurs when decibels reach 150 decibels. Such is the power of sound. The human body vibrates like a musical instrument. The doctor may tap your back during a physical exam to produce a diagnostic percussive sound on your chest. The human body is two-thirds liquid. Sound travels more quickly through water than through denser objects. It travels 3,350 miles per hour. The water content of the body's tissues depends on how swiftly sound goes through it. The implications of sound's therapeutic use are thought-provoking and stimulating. Although research data is still being investigated, there is some thought that certain frequencies from the grand musical scale may be felt in certain areas of the physical body. These frequencies may have therapeutic use when focused on the ailing part of the human anatomy. This is referred to as vibroacoustics. In the United States, vibroacoustic beds, mats, and lounge chairs are being marketed and produced. In general, vibroacoustic therapy may be experienced when the higher frequencies, from about 130 to 2093 Hz, are felt in the head and neck. Frequencies from about 66 to 130 Hz may be felt in the chest and belly. The lower frequencies, about 40 and 66 Hz, may be felt in the pelvic area. In cases where pain is present, these pitches work their vibratory action to soothe that aching area. Here is an example of how I have used vibroacoustics. I played for a back surgery patient recovering at home. I experimented up and down the 32 notes of my harp until she told me where she could feel soothing vibrations. I continued to play for her within that octave. She found it relaxing, regenerating, and relieving. It may be that because each human body is different in size and weight, each body may resonate at a slightly different rate. It is helpful to experiment with your instrument to find the target pitches for the therapeutic application of music and sound vibrations. End of chapter 1.